The coronavirus pandemic has, for good reason, led to a lot of fear and concern, but it's also led to acts of kindness, both big and small. That's something my next guest is really interested in. Jeanette Murray is founder of Tucson-based Ben's Bells, which aims to teach people about the positive effects of intentional kindness. The nonprofit recently launched a Be Kind Challenge paper chain in which a new link is added to document an act of kindness. The group says it's a way of staying connected even when we're physically apart. I had the chance to speak with Jeanette Murray before the current outbreak. She'd recently gone back to school at the University of Arizona to study kindness, and I started our conversation with a question about the relationship between Ben's Bells and what she's studying and whether the latter is an outgrowth of the former.
Absolutely. Well, my background is actually in linguistics. I have a master's degree in linguistics from long, long ago. And I found that when I started my work with Ben's Bells and Ben's Bells started growing and spreading, I found myself including a lot of the work that I had done with linguistics ending up in the things that I was teaching about and learning about and hearing people talk about in regards to kindness. And so that was really interesting to me. And the more I went along with Ben's Bells and the more people I listened to and the more conversations I had, the more I realized that communication is, you know, how we enact kindness. And communication requires a skill set in many situations, especially in difficult situations or in situations where people are struggling. And more I saw people with kind intent, including myself, in situations where we may be at sort of a loss for words or not have the communication skills we needed in order to put our kind intention into action in a way that would result in kindness. So what I started seeing was sort of a mismatch between intention and impact. And that to me was fascinating and at the same time sort of sad, right? Because if we intend to do kindness, we intend to support, we intend to connect, and we actually end up hurting or our kindness doesn't land quite right, that's a missed opportunity for improving connections, improving relationship, improving our own sort of health and wellness.
It's interesting because you've spoken in the past about the difference between niceness and kindness, and it sounds as though there's a pretty significant difference both in terms of the way we interact with people with whom we're trying to be either nice or kind, and as you just referenced, the impact that those words or actions might have.
Exactly. In fact, I think we have a problem with niceness. I think that some of the struggles we have around communication in some of these more difficult areas result from our wanting to be nice, be, you know, keep everything comfortable, make sure, you know, things are neat and tidy.
Like
and
be polite kind of thing.
Yes, yes. And oftentimes when people are struggling, when situations are challenging, that sort of glossing over the top, just being polite, is actually not kind. Kindness actually would look like, you know, us being willing to brave the discomfort, being willing to be more vulnerable, be willing to learn what we need to learn in order to be able to serve whatever the situation requires. And that definitely goes beyond niceness.
Is there a sense in your mind that being kind could be more risky in the sense that you are putting yourself in maybe a position that is more uncomfortable? And given the topic, there's more of a chance you could say or do the wrong thing?
Definitely. I mean, kindness does mean being more vulnerable because it is more honest. And so we also need to talk about humility when we're talking about kindness. Kindness requires a sort of courage and also a humility to admit that we don't know everything. When we have the awareness that different situations require a different skill set around communication and language, that humility that we need to learn something serves us very, very well. It allows us to go into a situation, for example, where we might want to be an ally, but we might not know enough about the situation to do that effectively. So we, in those situations, we could end up putting our foot in our mouth, and even worse, right? Even saying something that is actually harmful.
Can you pinpoint the time when you realize that what you thought about kindness and maybe what other people think about kindness isn't actually what kindness is?
Well, you know, For me, the big struggle has been this grief experience. So after the death of my son, I started very clearly seeing that connecting with me was a courageous act because I was a scary human at that time, right? I was this grieving mother. People are uncomfortable with grief and death. They're especially uncomfortable with death of a child. And what I found was these courageous people who were willing to come in. Also, what I experienced and what a lot of grieving people who I've spoken to experience is people really meaning to support and their words actually hurting. The example I use often, and everybody gasps when I say it, but many, many people said things to me like, well, at least you have another son. Mm. And I know that those sorts of comments were intended with kindness, but they actually hurt. And so some people will counter back to me and say, well, it's really the intention that matters. And, you know, I do agree that intention is really important, but it's not enough. And I also believe that when people intend kindness, they really, really want their kindness to actually be kind. So I don't think we need to sort of stop at, oh, it's the intention. I think we can acknowledge that the intention is valuable and say, wouldn't it be so much better if the intention and the impact matched? And so it was really in my darkest times that I started understanding how much trouble people have communicating around struggle and around, you know, things that are not super comfortable.
Do you differentiate, though, between people who are trying to help somebody who's maybe going through something, be it grief or an illness or something like that, and conversations about just difficult topics, be it politics or race or anything like that? Because it seems to me that if you see somebody or you know somebody who is struggling with something, you genuinely do want to help. And as you say, sometimes the words and the actions are helpful and sometimes they are not, and sometimes they actually have the opposite effect. But in terms of talking about difficult topics, it seems like the goal there might be more understanding or maybe trying to express your point of view as opposed to trying to help somebody.
Definitely, there's, we talk about social support being one sort of communication. But I think that the principles are the same across the board as far as, you know, really listening. Listening is a huge part of all of these conversations because oftentimes we sort of just jump to what we want to say and without really taking in. So I think really listening, really understanding that when we're going to speak about something we're not necessarily super comfortable with, that we need to do some learning in order to get more comfortable. Once we sort of learn a context and learn the language and learn it well, then, you know, a conversation can just be difficult in that it's difficult. But what I'm interested in is when people are sort of struggling because they don't have the language and communication skills that they need in order to delve into that area in the first place.
Is there any particular significance to the timing for you of doing this? And I ask because, you know, you can look all over the place and see messages of we need more kindness. We need to be kinder to each other, especially given some of the rhetoric that is out there, both politically and racially and religiously and pretty much everywhere. I'm wondering if those factors contributed to you deciding this is the time to do this, or maybe this was just a convenient time for you to do it.
Well, I don't think it's ever convenient to slash your salary in half and go to school.
That's true.
But I did have the, you know, opportunity and again the privilege to be able to make this work. You know, there are a couple sort of symbolic things. Right now, my son Ben, who died when he was little, would be college age, and I think he would be at the University of Arizona. So I'm sort of back at the U of A for him.
Nice.
But I also do feel like we're at some sort of tipping point in awareness in our culture that we've been sort of focusing on the wrong things. You know, we really, the heart of our happiness lies in our relationships with each other. And I think that in all the chaos, we may be starting to see that a little bit better. So I do feel like there's a huge need. I feel like there's a demand. People are wanting more of this sort of work. And so I do have a drive to work towards something that is very meaningful to me, and this definitely is. So the timing's right personally. I think the timing's right as far as where we are in our culture. And there are a whole lot of people doing fascinating work around the kind of things I'm interested in. So there's a whole lot of opportunities to collaborate and learn from very, very kind and brilliant people around the world.
All right. That is Jeanette Murray, founder of Ben's Bells, based in Tucson. Jeanette, really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.